trials are opportunities. But I was thinking about, you know, me and Teresa, and every one of us should endeavor to acknowledge the Lord in everything. Proverbs 3, and if we've never really consistently did it, it can be a challenge to you. Because you want what you want it when you want it, I want it when I want it. Most people are like that, you know, that just the flesh nature and all of that. But the more we acknowledge God and the more that we move with the Lord in everything, the blessings on it. The blessings on the will of God, you know, whether it's, you know, like Teresa, she asked the Lord what clothes we wear and everything. And I, when she first started doing that, I thought, man, what's wrong with her? Man, just go get some blue jeans out of there. Wear a blue jean, you know. But she told me later, she said, you know, she said, if I can hear God in the little things, you know, and I can find the will of God in the little things, then I'll be able to hear him in the big things, you know. And so acknowledging the Lord, that's what Proverbs said. He said, in all of our ways, acknowledge him. And he'll direct our path, you know. And if we set out and endeavor to do that, you know, like myself, whenever I come to the Lord, I mean, I was notorious for, I'm not going to be told what to do. Not by my parents, not by the cops, not by, you know, I'm not going to be told what to do. I just don't, you know, I'm free now. I'm a grown man. I'm going to live my own life. And I'm going to do what I want to do like I've always wanted to do. You know, but I found out that road was bondage, you know. And I come to the place to where I'm like, God, I don't want what I want anymore. I want what you want because you know what satisfies me. You know what you know what I need in the future. You know what our future holds. And I got all that based out of Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans, the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not evil, to give you hope for a future, you know, for your future. And I was telling a guy the other day, and I don't brag on money. Money is nothing. It's neutral. Things are nothing. Cars deteriorate. The minute you buy new and leave the lot, it loses $5,000 to $10,000 value. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is, and it starts deteriorating. You know, and I thank God for that Sunday school teaching this morning. That our trust is not in uncertain riches. It's not in these things. Our identity is in the Lord. Our identity is not in our jobs. Our security is not in our jobs. And all of this stuff, we'll be tempted to put our trust in them, to put our trust in money to take care of us, to pay our house payments or whatever the case, car payments or whatever. But we simply have to refuse to let anything be our God or our trust other than the Lord and His provision. Because He has a million ways or more of getting things to His people that His people have not even thought of, you know. But trials, you know, I was thinking about trials are opportunities. And God spoke that to me back years ago. He was helping me to understand, you know, see, a trial is not what destroys people. It's what they do with the trial. You know, the trial don't have the power to do anything. It's how we respond to the trial. Now, lost people without the Lord, they're just at the mercy of whatever's happening in their life. You know, I mean, honestly, they don't have no God and no hope. And they, you know, some would disagree. I believe the Lord. I believe in the Lord. No, there's a difference in believing God is and that He is your Lord. There's a big difference. He is your trust. And that's not something most of the time that happens overnight in our life. We get born again, and if we've been out in the world 20, 25 years like I was, I've trusted in a lot of different stuff, in myself and my will and my way and whatever, you know. So it took, and still working on it today. But you know what? I'm way higher on that ladder of trust in the Lord than I've ever been, praise God. Because what it does, the more that you yield the right way and in the trials, the higher it takes you. It builds something, whether you realize it does at the time that the trial is happening or not. Because it builds endurance, the Bible says. It builds character, praise God. Every time I get upset and treat and I don't go smoke the tires off my truck and try to blow it up going down the road, you know. Every time I don't do that, I got stronger. I don't do it no more. Used to, I'd jump in my truck after I was a Christian and I'd smoke the tires, and then if I run into anybody mad, you know, I mean, it's just, I'd, you know, cuss them out or whatever, you know, and I started not yielding to that, see. See, it wasn't the trial that was going to destroy me. It was my choice, right? If I'd have met the cop, I'd have went to jail. I'd have had to tell him, go shoot my wife, and I won't never do it again. She made me do this. She didn't make me do it. And she, you know, Satan, trials don't have the power to make you yield the wrong way. They might be roaring. They might be loud. They might be pressuresome. But the Bible, what does the Bible say for me and you? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world, don't it? It says, the Bible says that no weapon formed against you will prosper, don't it? It says that. Well, if we let it prosper, it's our fault. Because his word says no weapon formed against me will prosper. I got to believe that. If I don't believe that scripture, if I don't believe that, then I will give in to the way it looks and the way it feels and all of this. And Satan will say, well, this is just the way life is. This is just the way. He is a liar and the father of them. No, the way life is, the world has a way of going and doing, and we have a way of going, doing, and being. Just like Teresa, we pray a year out. We usually pray and seek God and believe God that the appointed time for vacation for us will be on time. It'll be set up by him. It'll be anointed by him. And so we endeavor. So we always, and I'm going to, and I believe we all ought to ask the Lord about these things, because we won't, a moment of vacation cannot replace a lifetime of peace with God. They just can't do it. And so Teresa always knows, and we do. We set our vacation around God's will. You get it? I'm not just feeding you hot air. This is something we do. We set it around the will of God. So we leave in Sunday after church and we come back Tuesday. Why would you come back Tuesday? Because we got church Wednesday. And unless God anoints, I can get somebody to preach. Unless God, I'm acknowledging him. God, is this okay? She's got set up. You know, is this the way that it is? You know, because my getaway is Jesus. Your getaway's got to be him. If you never go to Tennessee, come on, somebody. If you never go to Florida, you can have vacation on the inside of you. And I'm not knocking you to go on vacation. Acknowledge the Lord, and then he will anoint it. And I mean, it'll just be a lot better than doing things on your own or getting vehicles or whatever we're doing. We need to acknowledge God where when these trials hit us, even in the will of God, and we know it's the will of God, faith is there to sustain us in the will of God, although it might be a major trial, because we have confidence in him. But if you're always yielding the wrong way in trials, you're never going to develop confidence in God. I'm going to say that again. If you just continually, consistently, then don't work on not yielding and getting in a wrong spirit, a wrong way in trials, you will never develop a full trust and confidence in the Lord. Why? Because you will see him in the small trial. You'll see him in the medium trial. But if you flunk every trial, you won't see him. Come on, somebody. This is good stuff. See, there's... I mean, if I've seen it one time, I've seen it a million. How the Christians, when they'll go to church, they'll be on fire until some trial hits them. And then, man, it's like the enemy will just jump on the trial. He'll say, what's the use of going to church? What's the use of reading the Bible? What's the use in fasting? I've fasted and things got worse before. You know what I did? Fast a little more. Well, we need results. Well, you got to yield the right way. How long? As long as it takes. Don't be willing to fold real quick in a trial. Hallelujah. I mean, you gotta develop a mindset of longevity. And if you know it's Satan, say, I can wear you out. You can't last as long as me, because I'm in him and he's in me and his word's in me, and I done that and he'll give it to me. So you got to anticipate when the trial comes that you will settle for nothing less than victory. And then when you do that, all heaven begins to back you up. God's word begins to work. God's anointing, God's Holy Spirit, the angels. And there's no power that can stand against the power that is in you. Hallelujah. Even in prison, Paul wasn't in prison. That wasn't defeat. Prison wasn't defeat to that man. He wrote most of the New Testament in locks and bonds. I mean, he was free. He was a free man. He was what Teresa was talking about, a content man. He was the one that wrote all that. Don't love the world and the thing. Don't put your trust in the things of the world. Don't love them. Love me. Love God. See, he had the key, and it was Jesus. He met this key to the kingdom and heaven on the road to Damascus. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the life, and I am the truth, and I am the life. Praise God. He is the way for your marriage. He is the way for your relationship. He is the way for your prosperity. He is the way. The Bible says, I evangelized for about 8 years. And God opened doors all the way in Georgia. They sent a limo down and got me, man. I mean, God just been blessed. He's blessed me, you know. I mean, after I learned to not open doors of ministry and what I'm telling you. I mean, I'm burning on the inside. I want to go preach, man. I mean, I want to go preach, and it just seemed like no doors. And, man, I'm trying to open doors, and they were awful. The doors that opened up were awful. And finally, I come to the place, and I'm like, God, I'm not going to yield the wrong way in these trials again. I'm going to be faithful at my church. I'm going to be faithful in the ministry. I'm going to be faithful at the jails, God. I'm just going to be faithful where I'm at. And then I'm going to believe for you, according to Revelations, to open doors that no man can shut for me. And you know, after I'd started doing that, doors began to open at places it was God. It was God. And I would go, about every church that I would go to, about when they would have testimony service, somewhat like we do, they would stand up and they would say, well, you know, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And everybody'd say, amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. And I'd be like, what's the rest of that scripture? I mean, they were that mindset. We're just going to go through. We're just going to go through. I mean, we're going to suffer for Jesus. We're just going to suffer for Jesus. They was taught that. And so I would be like, oh, Jesus, let me have that microphone, man. Whoo, I'm tired of hearing this. I started to stand up one time. All of y'all shut up. Y'all making me sick. Glorifying Satan like that. Telling me that he's bigger than my God. I started to do it, and I thought, just be patient. Just be patient. And I got up there, and I preached all over it. I stomped him around, stretched him, threw him over my shoulders, put him under my feet. Man, I mean, I whipped him. I mean, I cold cut, just sliced him in half and brought out the glory of God. Time I got done from her, they're like, oh, we've been fooled. They just got a little knowledge, Johnny. They were Christians when I got there, but they were warriors when I left. And I don't know how long it lasted, but God, I bet you they went home cleaned out some closets, and I mean, put some, begin to bind old, some of them called him Slew Foot Sue. All kind of stuff, man. So, you know, I mean, I've been in these places, you know, where this church is not going to be a church mindset on defeat. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We have been crucified, buried, and raised from the dead with Him. The same Spirit that raised Jesus lives in you. You might say, well, I don't feel that power. Well, that's why God's got you here. You got to stop your feeler. Turn your feeler off and get your heart hooked up to God's Word that He is in you, with you, for you, not against you. And who can, if God be for you, who can be against you? And set your mind, no matter where you're at, that you are going to acknowledge God and you're going to walk with God and you're going to have God's victory that He says your Bible. And until you do, until you get sick and tired of being defeated, you won't fight. You got to get sick and tired of being defeated. Well, my whole family's been defeated. Nobody knew. My whole family ain't Jesus. Right? My whole family's not my evidence. People dying with cancer is not my evidence. People dying after they've had open heart surgery and getting on fixed income. And oh, that's not my evidence, but God. My evidence is God's Word, hallelujah. He said that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Well, praise God, if I believe that, then I'll walk out there and I won't let it. I won't let it, see, confine me. Paul didn't let that confine him to a prison. See, Paul and Silas didn't let their trial confine them to a jail cell. At the midnight hour, you say, well, there ain't nothing I can do about it. Tell Paul that. You can't convince him. Tell Jesus there ain't nothing. There ain't nothing you can do about it. He went to the cross and they nailed him up and then they punched him in the side. He gave up the ghost and said it is finished. So don't you can't convince the Holy Spirit. That's why he can't walk with you whining. He has to just sit down and say, oh God, there's nothing I can do about their trial, God. God, there's nothing I can do about it. They're in unbelief. They're complaining like in the wilderness, not us. And if you have been, God is just making it real to you. That's all. He's making it. It's like one time, you know, I didn't mean nothing by it. Teresa complaining about whatever it was. I don't remember what it was. Every time I go in, you know, and so we're going somewhere one day, and I said, well, I already know about it. He can tell me all the time. Hurt her feelings. So if you get your feelings hurt this morning, good, come on by it a while. Get smack you with a $100 bill and make you feel better. $100 bill would make everybody feel better. You'd feel half dead with pneumonia. Slap a $100 bill. You'd sit in her eyes. Oh, are you serious right now? Yeah, didn't that make you feel better? Well, yeah, it did make me feel a little better. Sure. You overcome evil with good, right? That's key to that. So if you get your feelings hurt, just get over it right quick and say, my feelings is not on my shoulder. And y'all listening by Facebook land, God wants you in church regular. Regular. Somebody say regular. Every time I can, the doors are open. Regular. Amen. See, God sees faithfulness. God sees faithfulness. Faithfulness is not just me coming to church. You'll see me come to church if I'm faithful to Him out yonder. If I'm faithful to Him out there by acknowledging, you'll see the results here. You'll see the results when I fight, when I give up jobs for Jesus. You'll see it on Wednesday when I'm going to the box truck and I'm going. It ain't just Wednesday I just have to say, Jesus. No, I have to say, God, thank you, Lord, for this ministry. I will quit my job before I'll quit the ministry. Y'all got your jobs going on out there, y'all young folk. You're going to have an opportunity to put it before God. My son was raised to put Jesus first. And if you've been in this church a little while or listening to me by Facebook, I'll preach you the Bible. They put God's word first place and final authority. God said, love me with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. He said, I will have no other God before me. So if you put another God before him, he just backs off and says here, let that God see what he can do for you. He won't kill you or strike you, but you can walk away from him and say, I want my will, not your will. And Jesus plainly said in there at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Father, let this cup. He did not want the trial, Johnny. I don't like trials, to be honest with you. But I know that trials are inevitable because Jesus said, in this world you will suffer trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome. In other words, put your trust in me. Get your power from me, and you can come to the cross like me and be crucified. But y'all young folk, don't let your parents raise you up in the Lord, and then you get out there and you're your own thing. Travis done tried that. How miserable. Hey, he was the most miserable teenager that I ever seen in my life. Well, I ain't Travis. No, you're flesh. You're human. He didn't know what it was without God. But he gets out there and marries Beth. I'm my own man now. Ain't nobody telling me nothing. Ain't nobody telling me nothing. Right. But you know what? It wasn't just a little while. Wasn't but just a little while that the things that he had been taught and knew about Jesus started to come up. And then he'd seen without God that life is not really that good. And then when he turned back to the Lord, you can see right now he ain't lost no weight. He's happy. He's content. He goes around now and he's like, I'm going to have this good life. Things starts happening in his marriage. See, somebody done went before you, and if they ain't somebody here telling you what how to respond and get God results when you do face stuff. My greatest desire is to every one of you have victory, that you are satisfied just sitting on your front porch and sweating. I mean, I got out of the hospital, Johnny. I've been in there 3 months, man. I mean, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever. And I'm stuck in that hospital, and I mean, I almost got my clothes and just walked out of there. I thought, they don't own me. I ain't got no insurance. I got to pay them anyways. I mean, I did was everything I could do. Jesus had to help me not to get my clothes and just walk out of there. Y'all don't own me. But you know what? They brought me home, and I told them, I said, hey, see, that was a trial for me. They lied to me down there. Two or three times they lied to me, and that made me mad, man. If they tell me something, that's what I expect, you know. Let's get the date, slice me open, cut her. I can be home. I'm headed out there, you know. Anyways, I get home, and it's hot. Whoo! I'm talking about smoking hot outside. I told them, I said, get me on the back porch. Let's go. I went on my swing in the back porch. And I'm sitting there, and I mean, sweat's running down me all over. And I mean, they're getting in. We're going in the house. Like Aubrey, Papa, I'm melting. It's like, no, you ain't melting. That's her saying right now, 80 degrees out there. She starts sweating a little. Ooh, you're melting, Papa. No, you're not. So they come out there, and they said, I think it was Terry, Dad, don't you want to come in the house? I said, no, I'm happy. I'm happy on the back porch. I done come through this trial, but God, I'm at home and Jesus lives on the inside of me and I want to sweat. So I sat on that back porch just sweating. I was enjoying it, life. I determined I'm not going in the air condition. I'm going to sit in the heat. Because, see, the trials, when you come through, you can be dissatisfied out here. But when you go through those trials and God brings you into a place of rest, you'll just be melting where you're at right now, but you're happy. Why? Because trials will develop your confidence in the Lord if you yield the right way. if I yield the right way. Every time somebody brings up tithing to me, if I got a problem, tithing, God, there they are with that money thing again. I want to go to church, but to bring that money thing up every time. It ain't us. It's not men. It's God. Just like this boy right here is driving my Harley. But it ain't mine now. He said, glory to God. I mean, I'll get me a Harley. And I'm like, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, I'm going to ride me a Harley. I don't know where I'm going to ride it to. I'll go check the cows. The cows didn't enjoy it too much. But you know what? I enjoyed the Harley for a little bit. But I knew in here this Harley was for Johnny. But I sat on that 2 months. I really did. I'm like, God, why can't you just let me keep something? He got my Cadillac. What have you got? Go-karts. Go-karts. I wanted to keep them go-karts. It cost me money. You know, four-wheelers. Three or something. Just hit me. I wanted to keep it, man. I like riding this stuff. But you know what? Right now, I can have anything that I want. It ain't been that way. It's because trial. See, God brings a trial to you. He'll say, I want you to honor your mother and father. God, they're stupid. They're stupid. Y'all teenagers think we're stupid? Wait till you get our age. You'll find out right quick. We knew what we was talking about, homie. And then you're going to say, God, I am so sorry. I'm sorry. Seen somebody put it on Facebook. They said, I used to go and see these kids, you know, I don't know what they're talking about, dressing. They're dressing a little bit, you know, whatever the case might be. They said, and I used to go and see people's kids. He said, and I'd say, man, I can't believe they're letting them dress like. He said, then I got some of them. Changed the whole way they looked at life. Good Lord, get them ready. They gripe about the shorts you want them to wear. They gripe about, but you go on. I mean, it takes you 30 minutes fussing with your little girl to get her to wear something. Does it happen? I don't know. I ain't never had a little girl. It does. Aiden, if he's wearing a certain kind of boots, that's all he wants to wear. Tell him one time he's putting his shoes on wrong feet. Every time I'd see him, he had them on. I'd tell him, Aiden, those shoes are on the wrong feet. Get down there and change them. Sit down there and change them. No, Papa, they're not. And I'm like, can't you see? Papa, they're not. I started to say, I'm going to spank you, but I really ain't. So I can't tell him that. But you know what? I went on finally and convinced the kid. Now he'll ask me, say, is that right, Papa? Yeah, that's it. But just slide them on, go on. See, don't let your trial mold you to let him believe they're on the wrong feet. Just like the guy at the boathouse trying to get me to, that somebody put the doors in, they wasn't working right or whatever. Me and Travis went over there and the dude's convinced that the head plates were wrong that holds the door up. And I look at him and Travis, nah, them's right, you know. And so this dude's just persistent, you know, calling down there the company and all that. And I told him, I said, listen, we're in the boathouse, me and Travis in. I said, you really do believe that you're right, don't you? And he said, oh, yeah, I do. I said, but you're dead wrong. I said, you can believe you right, y'all teenagers can believe you right all you want to. When it's contrary to that Bible and your parents is trying to get you to go in the ways of God, you can believe that it's wrong all you want to, but there'll be consequences to your wrong believing. Travis has honored me, and bless God, ask him if I honor him. Ask him. He honors me. He's never raised his voice to me. Now, he might have when he's out there at Beth barking. But I'm talking about personally, you know. And it makes me want to bless him. Oh, it makes me want to exalt him. It makes me want to help him to get life and get it big, you know. Why? Just because he's doing the Bible. And it makes your parents want to bless you. It makes them want to bless you. I started honoring my mother. I don't know, this wasn't in my sermon. Well, it is really, it's life. And life really is good when we yield real right way in the trials. My mama come to me, and all the rest of us, her kids are here, and my mama told me, she said, I started under. I told God, I said, God, I wasn't saved, but God, you said to honor our mother and father. I can't honor my father, but my mama's still alive. And my mama would, I mean, if it was an iron skillet, you better do what she said, because she'll wang you with it in the head, man. I mean, there was 17 of us. You can just imagine. I mean, I'm not stretching it. Tell her, well, she swooped me with a belt one time, and I looked at her, and I said, I'm not going to cry. Just go ahead. I'm not going to cry. She said, oh, you will. And she turned the belt around to the belt buckle. Son, she get me with a belt buckle. I wanted to cry. And so here this woman is, I want to honor. Just because God's word says it. See, y'all young, don't think I'm old. I'm only 56. I can probably outrun you. You think I'm a candy, you come to work for me a little bit. Not me telling you what to do. We gonna work. You'll be taking a nap at 7:30. This life will make a man out of you. Or kill you once. But you know what? My mama calls me up and she says, I need you to meet me down at the lawyer's office. I said, what you doing down there? She done went ahead of me. She said, I'm putting everything in your name. I said, do you understand what you just said? You got all your other kids. I said, that's going to get you in trouble. She said, the Lord wants me to do it. I said, well, I'm not going to argue with that. I said, but I want you to understand what you're doing. When you put it in my name, I said, it'll never be sold. It'll never be mortgaged. I'll never borrow a dime on it. Never allow a dime to be borrowed on it. I said, I want you to understand that. Okay. Now see, just because I honored my mama, all of that was put in my name, and then it wasn't about 4 or 5 months, one of her kids wanted to help them get a trailer and all kind of stuff. So she comes to me, and she said, and I'm making a point to this. She said, I need you to put that back in my name, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, not going to happen. Then I become a false prophet. She called me a false prophet every morning when I started to work out her bedroom window for a while. I hurt her feelings. You know, she couldn't help her son out. But she made a commitment, and I made a commitment. And I meant what I... But my point in all that, all them years later, my mama didn't owe nobody nothing. And my mama got in her home. My mama's gone now, and all that don't matter now. But my heart, the way I feel right now, I honored my mother. I honored her. And I mean, I don't have one regret after I started obeying the scriptures about honoring my mother. Not one. And she's been gone 10 years or 11. I'm going to meet her again. I'm going to be shouting time, dancing in presence of the angels and all of that. So honor your father and your mother. It's the first command with promise. Even if they're not honorable, that is a trial for you. You understand? That is a trial. And that trial will take you higher. It will bless you if you will do it. The Bible says, give and it shall. Don't always be going about wanting somebody to give to you, to give to you, to give to you. The Bible talks about you being like a leech. Leech. Give me, give me, give me. I read that in there and I thought, them leeches, man, you get them out of the river, have to cut them off of you. You know, and I thought, I'm not going to be a leech, Lord. I'm going to be, see, what the Word is doing is bringing light to the darkness so that the darkness is revealed, the truth in our life, and then the fruit of the truth. That's why it says, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for her. Husband, love them. Sometimes I don't want to love Teresa. I want to spank her. Not very often. But that don't change the Bible. If I won't yield when it, I mean, it's easy when y'all, oh, you're sitting on just a swinging. Well, yeah, just a swinging. Everything's good, you know. It's real easy to pass that test. But when everybody's, I mean, me and Teresa, we have to be careful about, we'll get into it over what we're going to eat. She asked me, what do you want? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. I don't know. And that's, I start to get mad. I don't know. What do you want? You tell me what you want. And then I'll figure out what I want. No, you tell me and then I know about what I want. I mean, you can sit on the back porch and backslide doing that. See, right now, y'all young kids, if you're going out to eat, you ain't got an answer to none of that. Yeah, I'm just going to McDonald's. Go get you a little burger. But you wait till you get that girlfriend in there. Where you want to go, baby? Anywhere you want, baby. I want to go to Burger King. You really don't like Burger King. Now you win a trial. You don't want her to see your weakness. You're a Christian. I'm not talking about people in this world. Me and Teresa couldn't figure it out one time, blah, blah, blah. And I told her, I said, get in. I said, I'm the man of this house. I'm taking control. Where are we going? I said, you'll find out when we get there. Be a man. Sometimes we just got to be a man. Lead the house. Lead the family. Just lead it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The anointing comes on. See, young man, you're in a test. You know, don't. The world said they say you're henpecked. Yep. Trying to crow. You ever heard of when them young ones trying to crow? You're like, that's a rooster trying to be. Then he gets up a little older. Well, that's the way you are when your hormones kicking in. Trying to be a man. But the only way you're going to develop be a man is get that word in there. Honor your mother and father. It's a real man. You're a teenager. You're a young man. And you honor your father and mother. You don't take advantage of them. That's a real man. A real father will take care of his children, even if you don't have them. A real father. There's plenty of daddies, but there's a few fathers that I know personally. Especially as a Christian. Take responsibility for your... And God, these are trials that's coming into that Christian's life. And if they get all trying defensive and try to defend and try to make reason, now you're yielding to that trial the wrong way when the Bible says that you can overcome that trial with good. Hallelujah. I mean, people's told me before, I'll tell you right now, Mr. Weston, you don't understand. I'm not paying child support. It ain't right. She's seeing somebody else. Well, you're not paying for them. How much would it cost you? Not even how much it would cost you. They are your children. Why wouldn't abandon Travis, even my grandkids? If they abandon them, by God, they coming with me. They family. I mean, they family. They ain't going to live in my house. I mean, I'll put me a system out there. Y'all come on Tuesday night, and I got monitors out here watching y'all. And y'all better not. I would do something, Johnny. I tell teenagers all the time, if you have a job and you are living with your parents, then you should pay them $50 a week at least. Y'all are quiet. We living in a time where y'all ain't going to demand that? Let me say it again. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm talking about you got a regular job. Look like Johnny Mustache Beard, you know. Got it going on. You able to go out there and buy, what's that good clone men buy? Them radio stuff, you know. Axe. but you ain't paying nothing at home. Travis gonna move in with Mama. See, people, that's why people says it's hard here, Johnny. No, this is the way God blesses us. When we're doing things right, when we're going to walk right, when we're going to honor our mother and father, when our siblings, we're going to love them as, you know, just like we love the Lord. Travis going to move to Mamaw's. Because Mamaw over there telling me, well, when you get 16 or whatever she told you, you can come live with me. Well, he brought it up. I can tell y'all right now, I get 16, I'm going to Grandma's. I'm going to Mamaw's. Mamaw loves me. And I tell him, I said, well, you can go to Mamaw's. I said, but you're going to pay me. You ain't going to freeload off of Mamaw. If you're going to go live with Mamaw, you're going to take all your clothes and stuff, and you're going to pay me $50 a week to pay Mamaw. Because you're going to be using her lots and her water and all of that. Well, you know what? He kind of changed his mind. It's cheaper to stay at home. And you know, you feel like you can't do it. You start asking God, God, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to honor them. Help me. And if you have that heart's desire, here comes the anointing. Here comes the grace of God begins to come on your life, and He begins to honor you, and He begins to raise you up. He begins to give you means. He helped me have means for my mama that I wouldn't have had. I bought her cars and paid cash for it. We put her in our house that we'd just remodeled, 4100, gave it to her, that we bought new. See, what I'm talking about, God's not getting on to none of us. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. See, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the right. Well, they just don't understand what kind of trials I'm going through. I mean, I don't make it $200 a week. If I give them $40 or $50, I'll only have. Well, that's all of us. Anybody works 40 hours, you bring home a certain thing. Don't think you're the only one in a boat like that. We all make choices. Some choices are going to hurt us. Some choices are going to bless us. I told Travis the other day, I said, you know what? I said, I tried to get my daddy back under, I was at 16, 17, I don't know what it was. And he never had tractors that I know of, used mules, you know. So I went to work and everything. And I went home and I told him, I said, Dad, I found you a tractor. I don't reckon I need a tractor, boy. I said, Dad, it ain't but $1,800, whatever it was. And he said, oh, boy, I ain't got $1,800. I said, no, Daddy, just go to the bank with me and co-sign with me, and I'm going to make the payments on the tractor for you. And my intentions was good. But he knew me. He knew me better, and he would not do it. And I met Teresa, and I wouldn't have made another payment. All of my money went to my girlfriend. I even had her hanging on to my money over there. Daddy would have had to finish paying. He knew that. But you know what, praise God? If I'd have been saved and knew what I know, if my daddy's still alive, my daddy would have had the best tractor that I could buy. He would have got a good tractor. My mama drove good vehicles. We kept her warm. We kept her a little honey warm. I'm going to tell her, when we get up there, ain't God been good to you? He raised me up and helped. I kept you a little honey warm on earth. I probably won't be able to say that kind of stuff. See, when we set up, when we don't let, this went totally different. How many got blessed? Come on, somebody. This is true life. This is not just a little sermon preached. This, if we do it, each one of us set out wherever we're at, and God's dealing with us about yielding the right way in trials. I mean, Travis is used to be, I mean, somebody going to smoke him every time he pulled the red light. I told him one day, son, Satan got your number. I said, you're going to punch it one time, and the law's going to be sitting there, and you're going to get it. You're being set up by the enemy. I was just letting him know that Satan's got your number. Got a couple of birds shot the other day, too. Whenever I think while they went, it's gone, too. You know? That's test. That's trials. See, they do it in the truck, Johnny. You know, when I'm in there with Travis and they shoot him a bird, they just don't know I'm a dead man. Because if I wasn't a dead man, I would do what most Christians do. Did you hear what I said? I would do what most Christians do. I'd jump out of that truck and go bust their windshield out and say, come on, shoot me one, Jack. That's my baby sitting there. Hello, he's 31. That's what I want to do. Get out, man, what's wrong with you? Shoot me one, but don't shoot my son one. He ain't done nothing to you. He's trying to go make some money. Are you dumb? Can't you see on the truck a business and we got a trailer we need out and y'all ain't even courteous enough to let us out? And I'm about to get out, glue, bumper to bumper. Nope, 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 pull up, pull up. I don't do it, man. I back off. Come on out. Did you know God sees these trials that we pass that way? They are major stuff. Major adjustment. That is one, these little trials are major things in our heart that can stop us from the blessing, receiving the blessing from the Lord. Stop us from receiving honor from the Lord. Hallelujah. Wives, submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord. Submitting to him like you would, like he's the Lord. Like he is the Lord. It says, submit as unto the Lord, right? The same way that we honor God, we're to honor our husbands. Y'all young ladies that's coming up, that's going to get married, learn to submit. So if you start submitting to your parents and don't complain. See, if they say, take that garbage out, and you gripe all the way to the garbage can and back, you ain't submitted. You just did it. But if you go and say, God, thank you, Lord, that I can take the garbage out. It's just a small example. Thank you, Lord, that I can take the garbage out. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now you passed it. Although you might not have wanted to, but you didn't say nothing about it. You know that's what the children of Israel did in the wilderness. God said, I'm going to take you to a land flowing milk and honey. And they got tired of somebody telling them what to do. Moses, you brought us out here to die. Wasn't they over there when Moses said, God said? Travis tells Teresa if he something won't help or something, he'll say, well, it's your fault that I'm here. And she used to tell him, yeah, and I can take you out of here and make another one just like you. So I want to encourage you. You know, and your kids. We ought not to be screaming at our kids, calling them dumb, anorexic, whatever it is. You know, ADDD. You know, a wheelbarrow of rocks will drive that right out of them. If your kids are overactive, you know, overactive, don't call them stupid and call it what it looks like. You know, start confessing the word over them as parents. Hallelujah. Told a teenage boy one time, I said, listen to me. I said, I know all the doctors told you you had ADHD or whatever it is. I said, you know, that's fine. Let the doctors give you the report, like God. I said, but you, I said, you, when you take that medicine, I said, you don't receive it. You say, thank you, Lord, that by Jesus Christ, I said, name it and tell it was working with the Holy Spirit. I will not have to have this medicine anymore. But you know what? Everybody around him and them talked about it. And he just lived with it. That's what I'm talking about, just yielding to however the trial is and just live with it. I'm not going to live with arthritis in my body. My mama had it, crippling arthritis, bursitis, you name it. Mama had it till I taught her to believe different. Whatever the doctor said, that's the report and that's it. I feel it. I taught her a little bit of different, praise God. Hallelujah. And so, you know, that's why you go to the doctor and they say, well, did anybody else have it? Yeah, mama did, brother did, sister did, and this, and blah, 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 blah. You know, names all of that stuff off, and then they say, well, you're going to walk with it because it just runs in your family. I told one doctor, I said, I got a new family. He said, how'd you do that? I said, I got born again. I said, now I've got the blood of Jesus. I said, and life is in the blood. I said, I've got new genes now. There ain't no arthritis in Jesus. There ain't no arthritis. There ain't no brokenhearted. He healed a broken heart. There ain't no cancer. There ain't none in him. In this lineage, it is blessing and healing. Prosperity, peace, and joy, and power in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. Be a test passer. I mean pass ever. Don't flunk another one. Just make your mind. I believe Aubrey would have failed if I'd have let her keep believing it. I told her, I said, baby, she said, Papa, I'm scared. I said, you're not scared of nothing. I'm afraid. I said, they're not afraid. I said, God did not give you, Aubrey, a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. I said, and there's no way that you can fail with Jesus. I said, and the Lord Jesus is going to help you pass. And I told her that most of the whole year, periodically. I'd say it to her. I tell her, you're smart like Papa. I got the wisdom of God, honey. Right? I tell her, you're smart like Papa. I'm going to make her believe it. She's not dumb. She's not slow. They can say whatever they want about my grandkids. I'm telling you, the word, the king rules. What if it don't? You're going to be one of them that don't. You're going to be one of them that never experienced it. So she came out, hey, Bobo, I passed. I said, I told you you're going to graduate to the third grade. And now you're 8 years old, baby. You're 8 and in the third. Well, going to be an 11th. Papa, I don't know if I'm past 12th to the 12th. Oh, you're going to make it, baby. The same Jesus all the way from second grade that helped you in the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. And now you're going on into college if that's what you want to do. I'm going to help her believe her way into it. So when your parents are in agreement with you and they're agreeing with you and they want to prosper you, get in agreement with them, no greater power than to be in agreement with the will of God with your parents, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, this morning, Lord.